For someone like me, it's easy to get hung up on the mechanics of the ascension. One minute, Jesus is teaching his disciples. The next, he's zooming up into the clouds, and the last thing we see is a flash of his ankles. And if we think that heaven is up and earth is down, then the story looks a little bit ridiculous, even cartoon-like. I think of Superman flying off into the wide blue yonder, or Mickey Mouse Donald Duck, as Lindsay would have said. So let's talk about heaven. And let's get one thing straight, kiddos. Heaven is not up. It's not a physical place in the sky that we'll one day zoom to like interstellar rockets. It's better thought of as another reality. Earth is our reality. Heaven is God's reality. And there are two ways of looking at or experiencing the same thing. We all experience things in multiple ways every day. For example, let's think about a good book. You could think of our reality as being like the physical book. Its weight, its smell, its shape. It has pages you can turn and squiggles on the page. And if you're lucky enough to be able to read, then the squiggles turn into words, and those words on the page are part of our reality. But then you start reading. And if the story is good, you become absorbed. You forget about the physical reality of the book. Your eyes are scanning the words, your hands are turning the pages, but it's all happening automatically. The books become invisible, and you're living in the reality of the story instead. Time passes, minutes go by like seconds, and you're immersed in the perspective of the storyteller or the central character. Your very neurons begin adapting to the reality you're experiencing through this dance between text and imagination. Your brain changes in response, and you emerge from a good story blinking, the same person but different. So you see how this one thing, a good book, has at least two realities, and that one of those realities can change you from the inside out. It's a bit like our reality and God's reality, which not coincidentally is written about in a very good book. We can plod along in our lives, cooking, sweeping, working, shopping, driving, and keeping our awareness limited to this physical reality. Or we can learn to notice God's reality, which is humming along like an undercurrent in everything we see and everything we do. And if we're lucky, from time to time God's reality will erupt into ours, forcing us to take notice, and we'll emerge from the experience blinking, the same person but different. The ascension is a dramatic example of God's reality erupting into ours. Jesus was walking along, talking with his disciples. Then he disappeared into the cloud, which, if you remember the story of the Israelites and the pillar of cloud which followed and protected them, you will realise is the presence of God. Then two messengers appear to the disciples, and they tell them that Jesus has been taken into heaven, which is, of course, God's reality. Ever since the resurrection, Jesus has been moving between these two realities, from ours to God's and back again. He walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and just as they recognised him, he disappeared. He appeared to the disciples in the locked room, and then again went back to God's reality. Time and again we hear, Jesus moved between these two. And in tonight's story, the ascension, he moved into God's reality to stay for a while. Jesus was the first person to live fully in both realities, although he gave his disciples plenty of glimpses of God's. And as his disciples now, we're assured that we'll follow in his path. This shifting between realities happened back then. But ours is not a static faith. We're not worshipping a history. The first disciples aren't the only disciples. We're part of it. We're part of this continuum of disciples, and we're written into the same story. And this movement between realities that happened then is something that continues to happen even now. And it happened after the death of our beloved brother, Lindsay. Last week, Lindsay died. Before we could say goodbye, before most of us even realised that anything was wrong. As Christians, we believe that at the end of time, the dead will be raised up and enter into God's realm. And then we'll be reunited with our brother, Lindsay. But to focus on the end of time as if it means the end of a physical universe is to stay stuck in our reality. Just as God's reality is not our reality, God's time is not our time. Our brother Lindsay is already in God's realm, that mysterious reality that shimmers in every nook and cranny of our world here. Last week I was granted a glimpse of this, and I want to share this experience with you. When I heard of Lindsay's death, like most of you, I was surprised. I felt shocked and unprepared and really, really sad. He's been a cornerstone of our church for over 50 years. He was the longest serving member, and he was a good and faithful servant, setting up the worship space, collecting the liturgy books, opening the door to the arrivals, lighting the candle. Jesus Christ is the light of this world, sprinkling us with water, watching carefully, turning the pages in the liturgy book to keep up, eating and drinking and saying hollow lids. Week after week, month after month, year after year, Lindsay turned up and worked and worshipped and broke bread and drank wine with us all. And now he's dead. But is that the last word? I don't think so, because last week in the hours following the news of his death, I felt his presence all around me. Lindsay's? We'd never been particularly close. We exchanged greetings every week and a sentence or two. But here he was, honouring me with his presence while I was chopping vegetables for our dinner. The strangest thing, though, was although it was Lindsay, he was no longer a damaged man saying, scratch cocky. Instead, I was with a man made whole. It was Lindsay, and it wasn't Lindsay. It was a mature man in his 70s who saw and understood everything. It was a man able to love expansively, and to stay with me a while, and to let me know how much he loved the church. The Lindsay we knew in this reality had a touch of slyness to him, but this was Lindsay blown wide open. Any shiftiness had melted away. The Lindsay we knew, the Lindsay of earthly reality, had a bit of a snigger. But the Lindsay I encountered was laughing with a great, joyful and full-throated laugh. He was pouring out love, and he was laughing until the tears rolled down his cheeks. He was laughing at this great joke of death and life and God. He was laughing at his trick of letting me see him while I was working in my kitchen. And it was this infinite, expansive, well-earned laughter of a man who's lived and died and returned to tell the tale. Much more than that, I cannot say. I do not really understand the experience. I don't know how or why it happened, but I believe it's a gift from Lindsay to share with you all. And that gift is a glimpse of the other reality, of Lindsay made whole, of earth and heaven reconciled for a moment, and of death never having the final word. I saw Lindsay restored in the presence of love, and I felt Lindsay pour out his love for us all. In this earthly reality, he struggled to connect. He struggled to express this love. But I can assure you now, Lindsay loved us all. And he loves us still, with a great and enduring and big-hearted and good-humoured and mature and abundant love. In God's reality, Lindsay's been made whole. And like the early disciples we heard about tonight, we've been granted a glimpse of God's reality in ours and in our time. Our brother Lindsay, a witness to the risen Christ, who would have thought? During the last few weeks, we've heard again and again how the disciples met a man who was both like Jesus and yet unlike. He was the same but different, just like the Lindsay I encountered in my kitchen. And we've heard again and again that one day we will join Jesus and Lindsay and Francis and all the others we have known and lost, and that death shall have no power over us. In our reality, we're not there yet. We'll miss Lindsay terribly, and we'll continue to miss all our loved ones who are separate from us now. At the same time, we've been granted glimpses of this other reality. Through the stories in the scriptures, through the stories we tell each other, through the experiences we have in worship and in prayer, and the things we see while chopping veggies in our kitchen. And we have a job to do. Like the first disciples, and like every disciple, we're to gather and to pray. And then, when the time is right, we are to witness to this incredible, unbelievable, but very real truth, that in God's reality, love crosses every divide, even the chasm of death. We don't know when earth and heaven will be fully reconciled. We don't know when the living will be reunited with the dead. We don't know when God will wipe away the tears from all faces. But perhaps the time is much, much closer than we think. The time is then, but the time is also now. Thanks be to God.